It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, after a great and wonderful, most beautiful weekend at the Freedom Summit. FreedomSummit.com. You missed it. If you weren't there, you missed it. But we will have the DVD done. You know, Drew right now is in there working on, he's got over 40 tapes. 40 hours that we're doing. Was how many? 34 tapes. Is that it? No. 48 tapes. Oh, he's got to, yeah, be clear, man. 48 tapes that he's doing from Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And there is so much stuff that even the people that went to the summit, they couldn't possibly get all the stuff that happened at the summit. It's just they were not going to be able to get be everywhere all the time. In fact, one of our videographers, 4409, Sheldon, what he did is he got a little laptop, one of those mini laptops, and he hooked it up with a Sprint, get online phone card broadband thing. And he's walking around with it and just had the camera on it and just going around with the laptop and the whole summit all the time, talking to people, interviewing them. And he had all the subscribers, of which he has many. He's well into the triple figures, I think. And he's showing all what's going on around the summit, and people are commenting and they're talking to each other and they're chatting and all that kind of stuff. Have a good question. He'd go up and he said, hey, you know, a question from the internet. So we were doing that. It's the first time we've been able to do this. This is our eighth summit. Now, we started in 2001. First one was 3 weeks after 9/11. So imagine that was interesting. We knew what was coming. Then we have the summits in 07, 08. We didn't do a summit. We have 1 year we did two. We did one in Manchester, New Hampshire, in support of the Free State Project. And so we're up to eight. We didn't do 07 and 08 because we were all busy on the Lovelution. Now, all the stuff that we were trying to teach people, that, you know, heck, we were getting it from the lamestream media, the media sue last century as much as they could, and the internet with Dr. Paul and all the things that were going on around that. So it just was superfluous. We didn't really need to. But now we needed to, you know, bring it all together. All the stars of Lovelution come in and we have a good time. And we got a lot of them. We had like Adam Kokesh. Jordan Page, guitarist, the voice of the Revolution, one of them, he did a really good job. We had a really good time. And then we had Ladies of Liberty, Lola Alliance, Ladies of Liberty Alliance. They came in selling their calendar and collecting money to go to CPAC, which is a conservative something. I don't care. But they got their money for that, had a party after an after party on Saturday that they hosted in one of the rooms, and it was a big hit. We had also Thomas Woods. Went to Denny's with the guys after Friday night's pre-summit debate on should we replace the United States Constitution with nothing? So that was a very interesting conversation. And we had Thomas Woods went out with all the young men and women, you know, they're late night going into whatever. And he's having a good time. He's a Mises Institute economist. Dr. Paul had him speak to Congress on the audit of the Fed bill. And he's very well known and very liked by the Lovelution because he's funny. He's entertaining, and he's Austrian economics, and he's writes a lot on Lou Rockwell, and he wrote the book bestseller Meltdown. And so when you got a bunch of New York Times bestsellers, you know, you got to pay a speaking fee. And if I'm paying a speaking fee, then he's partying with everybody. I tell you, you're here and you're partying with everybody. So what happened? He just gave him permission, just have fun. I go, look, man, just have fun. Just hang out. Make sure you're down here and, you know, get to know everybody, answer questions and everything. It'll be all worth it. So he had a really good time. And Sunday, he was the Campaign for Liberty guy here. They're both Catholic, so they went to church together. They wanted to go to a traditional service that we have in South Phoenix here. And they went Sunday morning to that and then came back and he spent some more time at the summit. But Friday night, after the debate, you know, all these guys, they're all amped up and pumped up. And the night before, we did the For Liberty movie at a theater by ASU there. And they went to Denny's near the resort there. And they went and what's interesting is the technology the way it is now. This is what happened. He really had to go to the bathroom, and he's just, you know, I don't want to miss ordering because they were shorthanded, and they went in with, I don't know, like 30 people just all of a sudden decided they had to go with Denny's, and they show up. So what they did, and I know the scene because the same kind of thing happened in Santa Fe when we were with Kokesh and late night after their concert that we did there where I got to hear Jordan Page. And I had heard him at the Revolution March last July, or I knew he had skills, but I'd never really had an opportunity to sit down and listen to him until this last summer. And, oh, my wife, she, you know, I was way ahead of her, but she was making absolutely sure that he came to play at the summit. And he's better than any band that we've had or DJ and all that kind of stuff. I mean, one guy got some skills. And in fact, we bought a bunch of his CDs that we are going to duplicate too and take all the speeches, put them in MP3 on a disc along with his songs, and that be part of a big, massive 10,000 disc blanket of Arizona State University right when they all come back from holidays in early January and right before legislative session starts. And we'll make sure legislators get them too. Hey guys, we'll get the legislators to get them when we do ASU too. Yeah, dang, Skippy. Now we get them thinking about it. So what we are going to, that's a good idea, I just thought. It's how we roll. What happened then is we go, yeah, we'll go ahead and buy these. And the Young Americans for Liberty, they're kind of the libertarian, conservative, freedom-oriented club there. They came on Sunday. We had a little mini concert at lunch, a two-hour lunch on Sunday, where he played, and Adam Kokesh was the speaker leading into the afternoon program, and then Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers, and we allowed them and encouraged them to have all their Oath Keeper members here in Arizona just go ahead and come for free for the last speech there, and they could go an extra hour. They had their own little mini summit thing, and they showed some videos and stuff, and it was a great time. And everything went really well, and I'm really happy. But there are some people that deserve more praise than others. You know, we all worked really hard, but the one person that didn't get enough props, I'll tell you, was Charles Gillespie. He was the guy that did all the sound and everything. He was there the entire, you got to be there with your fingers on the slides all day for days. And it was just, he didn't get enough props at the event. So I just want to make sure that y'all know, and there's a volunteer there that, and you know, what do they get? They get to sit there and listen. I mean, I didn't make them pay, but you know, he didn't get anything out of it, you know, other than just being able to be one of the volunteers and help. But these summits, one thing that's different about them than other functions is you have at least the people that sign up, let's say you have 100 people, 85 of them are in the room. There is never more than a few that have to go to the bathroom or have a little private conversations outside or something. They are in the room sucking up all of the information, and it's diverse information. And we'll go over what some of the speakers had to say. And as some of the guys here are out doing stuff and re-putting all, plugging in everything, getting all their stuff back and bringing in the material that we had there and the equipment and all that. So they're running in and out. We'll get some of them in to the studio. But the main thing is that before I was going off on all that, I'll tell you the story before the break. Thomas Woods wanted to order his thing before he went to the bathroom. So he wrote it down on a napkin or something, what he wanted on his grand slam. Now you get to like order, you know, your personal slam, right? So he goes to the bathroom. They got this laptop that has the video camera that all these subscribers are going around all the events with the guys. You know, they say if all these subscribers of Sheldon of 4409 are going with them with their laptop and they're chatting and going along and he chat back and show us this and he points at different people. So they take his order, his napkin, they put it up to the video camera, and they're showing him this is what he ordered. So now they call it the Austrian slam because it's Austrian economics. So now we have our own order, or, you know, for the grand slams, the Austrian slam of Thomas Woods. So he comes back and he's like, what the heck are you guys doing? And they're going, oh, we got it. And one of the guys in the chat room already named it. So, you know, that's just, well, if you want to get an Austrian slam, you just got to go to blog TV, put in 4409, and then, you know, you can find out what it was. And I don't even know. But it's just, you know, fun stories like that. And there's so many of these that go on these weekends, and relationships are built. A lot of these people in the Loveolution, they never got to see each other. I mean, of course, they see the videos and YouTubes and heard about each other. And we bring the skilled people, make sure that they get to participate, like the directors of the movies and stuff. And all of a sudden now they're making music videos of Jordan Page working with these directors. That's coming now. Very cool. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and kiddies listen to hear.
Oh, we got to get a longer version of that. I like that. We'll keep going. We'll get a lot more of the Christmas music in here. And well, I want to make sure. Hold on a second. What are you looking for, Jet? Oh, he's looking. You know, we are so busy coming in, and we have one of these big projects, and there's just guys running around. We got to get it all situated again. You know, that's another thing. A lot of the activists, they had never seen the workshop before. They always hear about it, and we talk about it, but they don't know about it until they come and actually see it. So we've been taking tours for the past 4 days of them to come by and see the legendary Freedom Phoenix workshop. And all of a sudden now they're like, wow. And I'm like, you know, waiting on you now. Because a lot of the times the video studio, they are exposed to it. They see it. We don't use it enough. I mean, we'll get to it. We do it for special projects and things that we need. We could do just regular daily. Heck, we could do the entire show from the video studio if we wanted to, webcam. And if I had a face for webcam, I'd be all over it. But, you know, we'll go ahead. That means I'd have to, like, dress up, wear a tie or anything. No. So what we do is we have it available for people to use. Well, there's a lot of different guys that come in, and they make use of it doing whatever special project that they have. And we're so busy with so much stuff, we don't get to it. But I think we're going to start. We're going to have fun for Christmas. I got a couple of projects I want to do on video that we'll do. We may even do the, you know, live webcam, the show here in the next, I think, about 2 weeks. We got a bunch of stuff coming up, like tomorrow. I had committed weeks ago. Howard Blitz is a Yuma County chairman of the Libertarian Party down there, but that doesn't say the half of it. I mean, he's a State Farm owner of an affiliate down there. He has, you know, a big freestanding building. He's a pillar of the community. He's in his, you know, he's in his 50s at least, but he's been a real hardcore freedom-oriented activist for a long time. And he writes his own opinion column for the Yuma Sun, the major newspaper down there. And he's well-known, respected, and sponsors the local Little League team, you know. So he has had a big impact on freeing a lot of minds there. And he asked me to, and we have advertisement banners you'll see on Freedom's Phoenix, Freedom's with an S, Phoenix.com. And you go in there and you'll see that he has the Freedom Library. And what it is he trains young minds, and they go through his, I think it's a 12-week class. And if they do that, then he sponsors them to go to a summer camp that is done for, you know, constitutional law and the history of the Constitution and a lot of, you know, patriot-oriented kind of stuff. And he always puts on various different functions. Like, you know, he's one of the Tea Party guys down there. They always go to him, ask him to participate and suggest speakers and such. And that's Saturday. I got to go. Yuma's a long ways away. That's, you know, that's at least 3-4 hour drive. So, We go to back there Saturday for that. And tomorrow I go down to do another event. And I got to even check my schedule. I didn't know what I've been so busy. But I just knew I had to do it tomorrow. But it happened to coincide with the fact that Charles Gillespie, which was a sound guy at the summit, and Shelton, 4409, have another court date of when they were in Yuma, and they got cited for disturbing this peace for videotaping border guards. And they charged them, you know, with whatever. So, you know, Mark J. Victor, my partner in the Freedom Summit, criminal defense attorney, he is all over it. So he's going down there, and we're going to have some fun. They were doing that, and I go, wow, you know, if I left early... And we have Thomas Costanzo, otherwise known as Morpheus. If we have, he's a sales manager here at Freedom's Phoenix. If we have him go ahead and do the morning show with some of the guys in the morning, and tomorrow is Jet Lacy's birthday. Happy birthday, Jet Lacy, telling us how old he is.
What? That's prime number, baby, 41.
Oh, prime, you know, you come up with that. Prime number, okay? So he's in his prime, all right? So he's hitting it. He's just hitting his prime. You know, that's a good way of doing it. You're just hitting your prime. That's right. Yeah, very good. 41 tomorrow. So he's just going to take off and be somebody and or not have to be somebody. He's just going to – he's like, hey, man, you know, if I – it's my birthday – and if I have to come in and work, I will be liquored. So we might as well just let me be off. So I'm like, yes, I vote for that. So he'll be off. Drew will come in and run one of the other videographers that's got audio skills. He'll run the board. We'll have Thomas in with some of the guys who went to the summit and some of our friends and other activists. They get a chance to come in on the afternoon show. Because the morning show we do, we have a lot of fun and so on. It's more local kind of stuff. The afternoon show, we're... syndicated all over the country, so we try and keep it up. But you guys get, you can get some exposure to some of the activists around here. I'll let you guys, they can go ahead. They got orders to not scare the horses, so you know, we'll have some fun. But what we're going to be able to do is we have the Comrex remote, you know, unit that we do too, like when we were doing the live from the theater and so on. And Friday we were just so busy, we did a repeat show of Charles Goyette, I assume that's what they played, Charles Goyette's show that we did when his book came out on the 29th of October, and he was a speaker at the Freedom Summit, and that's an important book, so I figured that'd be a good show for y'all. Now what happens now is when we go down there, we have the capacity to broadcast live from the court. So we'll be down there in the afternoon, right when the show starts, it'll be right in the middle of it. I'll probably have to step outside and, you know, kind of give you, you get a little bit what's going on. I'll come in and out during the show and find out what happened on how they're going to prosecute them. Because what they did, and there's a video, it made it big. It's all over the internet when this happened. They were down in Yuma because Pastor Anderson, the pastor here from Tempe, that refused to comply with searches, you know, going through a checkpoint that's, you know, 60 miles north of the border, just traveling on I-8, I think it is, from San Diego, coming, you know, across Arizona. You know, they're nowhere near a border, and they're going, you know, we've got to inspect you, roll down the window, you pull over in the secondary, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you know, I know my rights, you know, bite me. And usually he always got away with it. They just let him go. A lot of guys do this. You know, they nope, not playing, not playing, not playing. Well, this time, oh, yeah, it's late at night. We can, oh, yes, you is. So what they did is they broke the windows, but he was videotaping the whole thing. Plus, in discovery, when you challenge it, you know, they got videotape all around, and they beat him. Plunged his head into the broken glass on the side of the door, lacerations all over, did bleeding, you know, just messed up. So then he did a video explaining what happened. Mark Victor took on the case, and we're having some fun. Now, when they went down for one of the arraignments, they took their RV, and they had all these signs all over on the RV, like, you know, don't give up your rights, and, you know, tasers are for, you know, wimps, and, you know, well, it said other things, but, you know, taser, you know, just being real ornery. Well, of course, they let him through. There's that, go, 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 get out. And then coming back, they acted like, hey, man, there's something wrong with the RV, and they had to pull over, you know, right before they get to the checkpoint, and then they all pulled out with all their signs and stuff, and they're doing their signs, and everything. So they're just being ornery. Well, when they were in Yuma during part of the court proceedings, they had a break, and they went to a local restaurant, a pizza restaurant. And while they were there in a separate room, not bothering anybody, two Border Patrol agents came in and sat down and were having lunch. Shelton, 4409, being the activist that he is, saw that, took the camera, walked up. It's all videotape. It's all nice. And he gets up and he says, got video camera on him. And he says, hey, you guys got any ID? Where are you from? Where you been going? Where are you heading? And he's just asking all the same questions that they would ask somebody, you know, just traveling along. They're just sitting there eating, you know, but they got their uniforms on and such. So he just, got any ID? And immediately they started to realize what was going on. And they're like, yep, and to their credit, they just got up and started walking out. And as they were leaving, you know, the video is fun because it's got some, you know, cool kind of Nazi marching music and that kind of stuff. But they charged him with disorderly conduct and all kinds of stuff and anything they could, and arrested him when they went back to the court. So that's what we're going back tomorrow on.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Is that Beatles? They did Frosty the Snowman. They do a whole Christmas album. Yeah, cool. Yeah, we're gonna be playing some Christmas. We can just, you know, fade it over, and they'll work it out with us, and we can have some fun. Because man, it's Christmas, damn it! And now, God, what's that one song that they do? Soon it will be Christmas. What? How's it go? Oh, you know, there's so much that repeats itself. And as you get, this is one thing that was interesting. At the summit, you had a lot of, and I wanted this to happen. I intentionally did this. We had Friday night, the debate or forum presentation, whatever, in Constitution. Do we need it and why and how much and whatever. And we have David Nolan is one of the founders of the Libertarian Party. And, you know, everybody's got their street cred for whatever. You know, everybody dovetails into other people's stuff. You know, there's no one, you know, centralized plan for freedom. But, you know, you got to do, you know, are we going to be able to use the political process to do this? Well, it kind of demonstrated that the more power you get, the more they co-opt you. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, I participate in there just try and keep the freedom oriented kind of message inside the Libertarian Party because it attracts a lot of new young people into trying to use politics as the philosophy. So I try and set an example. You don't have to get a government number. You don't have to be inside the city. You don't have to worry about votes. You don't have to run for office. You don't have to. You can vote with science. I mean, you can directly inject the libertarian infection into the bone marrow of American politics, for which there is no cure, by the way, you know, without having to be limited by the man. Well, but you had to try. I mean, you had to start, you know, with this political process thing. But in the beginning, it was the original concept was we are going to inject our political philosophy directly into politics. And their goal was not, they weren't worried about winning. They were just worried about freeing minds. Well, the more influential it gets, the more you start bringing in what I call the shiny badgers. You know, they're the guys with the titles and I'm the chairman of. And if you have, you know, a national and a state and county and city and regional and all this kind of stuff, you got enough shiny badges to go around for everybody. I mean, I'm the chairman of, you know, whatever. I'm the vice chair. I'm the second vice chair. Some guys in Campaign for Liberty, they, you know, I'll just tell you behind the scenes, you know, they make fun of. I'm the 17th vice chair. They just, yeah, whatever. Everybody gets a shiny badge. So we were able to bring these new activists that are in their 20s to meet with people that were in their 20s 40 years ago that were them. Back in the day, that knew firsthand, that knew Ayn Rand, that knew Robert Lefebvre, that knew a lot of these big names. You know, Nathaniel Brandon has spoken at two of our summits. He was Brandon Institute. Well, let's put it this way. He was the protege of Ayn Rand and her lover at one time. So that they did a movie about that, The Passion of Ayn Rand, which was a very interesting movie. And it just come out just before he spoke at our first summit. And we were like, well, tell us everything. So that was good, and he's a good friend. Matter of fact, he's going to be at ISIL, International Society for Individual Liberty, has a conference here in Phoenix, in the beginning of January, middle of January, and he's going to be speaking there. And they're associated with other friends of ours and so on, and they're putting on a conference, and we had contact information for Nathaniel, and that worked out for him, because he's big objectivist, and that's what they are, and so on. So, we have these people come together that are multi-generational. It is, some of these kids are kids. They always slap me when I say that. These young men and women could be grandchildren of some of the guys that are speaking. In fact, Butler Schaefer, a law professor in Southern California, I can't remember, Southwestern Law School or something. Anyway, he's a law professor there and was the mentor for Mark Victor, my partner in the Freedom Summit, which couldn't spend a lot of time at the summit because he's a criminal defense attorney. He had a big murder case coming up today. I should give him a call, see how that's going. So he had a lot of preparation. So he gave his speech early on Saturday, and he wasn't able to come back after lunch. And so that's too bad, and it was a lot of work. I mean, you know, usually he and I share it, so we're working hard. And I tell you, you know, the only people that worked harder than me was my wife, Donna, and Charles Gillespie, the sound guy. I mean, you know, and then, of course, the film guys like Drew and Ben Nichols, Drew Phillips and Shelton, you know, he was buzzing around. But Shelton has a fun job. He does what he wants. You know, he just had a little laptop go around in his chat group with all of his roadies, you know, that follow all the stuff that he does. Well, he's going down. Yeah, he's going to Yuma. We'll be covering that. They're going to put him in Hooskow for talking to border agents without reversing the role. Oh, they did not like this. You know, they love it. They, you know, tap on the window. Sir, where are you going? What you doing? Got an ID on you? Are you American? Do you have da, 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 da? You do it to them? Oh, hell no. No, 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 no. So that, and I don't even know why Charlie got nailed. They just happened to, when they arrested Shelton, he was standing there. So they, hey, and you too, you know, you were driving the RV. So this is going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to how they're going to twist this around. But we're not naive. We're not rookies. This isn't our first rodeo. And as we go through this, the officers and whoever makes a report and the people that, the county prosecutor that's, you know, has lunch and golf with the federal blah, blah, blah. And Yuma's a big Fed town. And that's one thing that Howard Blitz, from Freedom Library down there, he makes it really clear. He goes, and they don't have the economic problems a lot of America does because they're so overwhelmingly military base, Homeland Security, Border Patrol. You can't go anywhere without some government license plate somewhere and guys with little, you know, bubblegum machines on their cars. I mean, the lights and pulling and just is terrible. And there was the taxi driver when I think it was Shelton, after he was released, he had to, you know, go find everybody. And you talk to the taxi drivers down there and so on, and they're just, oh, it's a police state. It's terrible. So it's, you know, I haven't been down there in a while. I go down during election cycle time and speak at various things. And I go Saturday to do a tea party. And then tomorrow, another function Howard has set up. I can't remember what it was. I agreed to do it a long time ago. And I said I'd be more than happy to do it. And he came up for the summit this week. So, you know, we're good friends. Don and I look forward to go down there. But it happens to coincide with the same time that they're going to be doing the court thing. So we'll take our little Comrex remote outfit, go down there, and you get it live. You know, what is it? What do they say? You are not allowed to film the border agents. They can sit there and film and surveil you while they're sitting there asking you all this question. But you go up to them and say, I got any ID on you? Where are you going? Where'd you just come from? What you doing? That's what Shelton did. Oh, pissed them off. I mean, oh, they were unhappy. So they had to get, we're going to nip this in the bud. So they can't, and they keep coming back for more. We have so much fun with this. I don't know what the maximum penalty is, but it's not, it's not enough for us to stop, but someday it will be. And that's exactly why they do these laws, this Patriot Act stuff. You watch. They'll throw some real funky thing on there. They'll go in and say, oh, you were interfering with, the health and wealth of the United States of America, for which it's death or something. I mean, don't think they won't either. All right, this is, and they're getting ready to amp this stuff up again. You know, what's the news? You know, we'll talk about the summit quite a bit because, you know, we've been building it up so much. We'll talk about what's going on. But this is the big story now. U.S. to launch new bid to hunt down Osama bin Laden. We're going after bin Laden now, you know, and what's the graphic I found in there? And it's a Waldo picture with bin Laden as a thing. Who is bin Laden? And I'm going, you know, Osama bin forgotten who? I mean, are you serious? I mean, seriously, this is going to be a big thing. Because you have, and how they're trying to tie it. Well, Gates was Secretary of Defense for Bush and Obama, so he more than anybody understands what the problem was and everything. So we're going to, you know, now's the time. We're going to go take him off the shelf and, you know, dust off his carcass and go put him out and, you know, and do whatever. And I'm just, it's so absurd that I don't even know how to comment on it, on how, other than how stupid they think we are. We're just going to bring it back.
Did you also hear that the U.S. government has decided to resume their search for Hitler?
Really?
No, of course not.
Nothing surprises me anymore. They just go, well, he never really died in Argentina. I hear this stuff. They go, oh, and they have I think it was, who was it, ADL or is it Israeli Defense Forces or whatever. They got new leads on guys in Argentina. And this time going, you know, nothing surprised me. Yeah, bring Hitler on. Heck, they did the boys from Brazil, I think it was. The whole thing was about how he cloned him. You know, surprise, surprise, surprise. We're going after Osama bin Laden finally.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, ran down Santa Claus today. Fixing and blixing and old his reindeer, pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, hearts merry and bright. Hang your stocking, see you first, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Yeah, tell the kids. Are we still telling kids there's a Santa Claus? Are we allowed to do that anymore? I don't know. Is that you know, how we had in the fudge that? I don't know how we do that one. You know, I grow a beard and lose a couple pounds. I could be Santa Claus. Go ahead, Jeff.
All I know is I have a funny story from the Freedom Summit when we were at the Denny's. I was sitting with Jordan Page, and he told me an interesting story of why he absolutely loathes Santa Claus.
Why is that?
Oh, he just said that...
Didn't get him what he wanted?
No, it was just he said that it creates the wrong image and, you know, about... It's just he's upset with the...
Well, he's real hard Christian.
Yeah.
But that has a lot to do with it.
But it was interesting. He just really... He's got a Santa Claus vengeance thing.
Well, you know, write a song, which he can do. So he should do that. There's, you know, that's another thing. You get someone like Jordan Page that is so popular in the Levolution, and he has some songs of faith in his album, and these guys, once you're freedom-oriented, religion just so doesn't play into it. Really, I mean, everybody is their private relationship with whatever deity or non-deity or whatever is, you know, everybody, that's a private, you know, thing. Some people wear it on their sleeve, though. It's, you know, their self-esteem is wrapped up in you got to believe what they believe or there's something wrong with them. There's some, I don't know what the deal is, but that is going away. It's not that the people are being of less faith. That's not the point. They're allowed to have faith. You know, let them. They, you know, it's not an issue. It's not, yeah, do what you want. And that's another thing. If they're, you know, you got a bunch of young activists and so on, you'll be around, you know, you'll have a certain percentage that smoke cigarettes, certain ones that don't. But they're courteous of those that don't, and those that don't rag on the ones that do. You know, and I'll go out every now and my wife hates it. You know, she sees me with a cigarette. She's just like, oh man, that just not. But I go out, this is the one thing. I don't not have a cigarette, or they do, yeah, I'll have one with you or something. It's a social thing. And I did this because, and they know it, and I go, yeah, I benefit from a cigarette just like you're smoking some wacky tobacco, man. I don't smoke, so I get buzzed from one cigarette, you know. Woohoo! You know? And the reason is, and I'll tell you this, it's a strategic thing, because when I was in radio, I first started with radio. You have the talk show host, and they're on, and they're doing, but they're usually stuck in the studio and that kind of stuff. When I was producing, or after the show, or before the show, the board ops and a lot of the sales guys, and all that, they all go out for a cigarette. They're all there. And I go out, hey, you know, I have a cigarette, and I always pay for them. You give them, you know, 50 cents, now you give everybody a dollar, you know, you have a cigarette. And this is it. For 3 minutes, however long it takes for them to smoke a cigarette, you got their undivided attention. You know, I do whatever, and you hear all the scuttlebutt. You find out, it used to be the water cooler, now it's outside the front door smoking a cigarette. And you hear, you ask them a question, they'll sit there and talk. You got conversation and information, because Charles goes, Ernie, you're going to start smoking. I can't believe you're doing. I'm going, Charles, don't worry about it, man. You know, and because fortunately, cigarettes give me a headache. so I'm good. I don't have a dick. And beer, I drink alcohol more than 2 days in a row, I get a sore throat. Because, I mean, I can go out and party all whatever one night and then have alcohol. I do it again the second night. It does something to my immune system. I start getting a sore throat. I can't do it. You know, the Lord has provided me limiting governing mechanisms to keep me in line, which is all good. Plus, give me a beautiful wife, so I kind of took care of that other thing. So I'm all good. Now all I get to do is just listen to rock and roll. But the thing is that as I'm sitting talking to these people, you find out everything. You're in their club. Oh, I didn't know you smoker. I go, I don't. Well, what's that? Oh, I'm just smoking. You know, can you do that? But the mindset of these people is that it's okay if you do. It's okay if you don't. If they're passing, all of a sudden, that cigarette smells a little funny, if you ask me. And no pressure. Do, don't. Doesn't matter. Alcohol, do, don't. Doesn't matter. And sometimes, you know, they're even recovering alcoholics, and they're just like, no, I'm like, cool, done. It's never even not an issue. The atmosphere of the people that I have dealt with over the years in this freedom philosophy is you are free not to be stupid, just as much as you are free to be stupid. But do not ask me to bear the weight of you being stupid. Those people are around too, and they learn very quickly that that behavior is not encouraged and oftentimes not allowed, because they'll come up and they'll go, oftentimes, and we knew that would happen. It didn't happen near as much as I thought it would, but some people, we had a really good summit. There was a lot of, I need, I'm poor, I don't have, I want to get in, I get, and you know, you hear, and the girls up front, and Donna probably heard it more than I did, but it's like, you know, this is like a libertarian thing, right? Your need don't mean squat to us. We have costs. You know, this is how this worked. It wasn't like we weren't clear, you know? So this, I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Jet? The one thing that is of interest, though, is that there are a lot of people that were very active. They did a lot of work. And if I knew who they were, I'd go, don't worry about it. You know, and there's the girls from Lola. You know, the Ladies of Liberty Alliance. So then I know they're hardcore activists, done a lot of stuff, like Catherine Breich, just busting butt. You know, Tracy doing a lot of things, all these girls. And I said, you know, let me tell you, I got a deal. This is the deal. You can tweet and blog and Facebook and cover the summit throughout the thing. If you keep all your people informed of what's going on and everything, and you know, and tell them how, you know, massive pictorials Ernest Hancock has, and how my, you know, biceps are bulging, ripping, and I'm good looking and face for television, you know, you do that, then we're all good. Don't worry about it. You know, do something. I mean, do something. You don't get it for free just because, you know, you sit there and you bat your eyelashes. You know, I'm almost 50. Guess what? That'll work on me. You know, I don't think it ever did. I hate that. Now, you do something productive. So we had a lot of activists. Some of them paid discounted rates. You know, they said, well, you know, they're active. They just, yeah, you're worth half price. You're worth half price. You got some money. You're like, you're kind of a half activist. You know, you get a little discount, you know, and some that are hardcore activists, but they make money. They do well. They pay full boat because they want to support the event. And sometimes they'll subsidize other people there. Yeah. You know, one guy, you know, a jet was admiring a book that he got from Boston Tea Party and he hooked you up.
Absolutely. I was so shocked. His name's Doran. I've seen him numerous times here at the shop. He's just salt of the earth. And I was just asking him about how many, you know, how much the book, because I really was interested in the Boston Tea Party book, because you're always talking about it and how wonderful of a
Boston Gun Bible.
Yeah, Boston Gun Bible. And so I was like, oh, $33. But I had already bought, you know, Meltdown by Thomas Woods and End the Fed by Ron Paul, and I just couldn't justify it. So he came up at the end of the summit. He had it signed to me, Doran did, and gave it to me. And it was just like the nicest thing. It just, I appreciate that more than he'll
every
ever
now
know.
And then we get, all of a sudden I get like contributions in PayPals to Freedom's Phoenix, or you can do whatever. And some people, you know, they just, you know, here's 5, 10, something. They just make some, you know, balances out the justice in the planet. You know, they need to give Freedom's Phoenix some money. And they are more than welcome. In fact, I think they should give a lot more. You know what? I want to be a beneficiary on your life insurance. You know, some groups do that. There are organizations that do that. You know, it's a big, and, you know, you die. It's a whole big program. And I'm going, I don't want people to be, you know, I benefit from them dying.
I thought that was called the U.S. government.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess he's not going to need that Social Security anymore. But the, and, you know, oops, chemical spill. Sorry. The, so these guys, sometimes we just see them in on the contribution lines on our PayPal, just come in and it'll have a little line, you know, what for, or something we did, or they just felt better. They just got came into some extra money. Instead of sending it to the church, they send it to us. You know, it's just justice is served. It's balanced out because these young men and women, and some of them not so young, are busting. I give you a good example, Dennis. Dennis and his wife, Karen, big help. You know, they're probably certainly in their 50s, maybe even getting close to 60 or more. I hate to say, you know, if they are, and they're not, say they are and they're not, so I get slapped. But, you know, Karen and Dennis, you know, they've been around a long time. They are real constitutional supporters. He's a big Second Amendment guy. He works in with a lot of different organizations to support the Second Amendment. And he's an electrician. And he's his own boss. He's going around. He does a lot of work. Whenever we need something, he'll hook us up. Like, we have our new dryer for, you have to have like a conveyor dryer. You got to get up to a certain temperature to bake in the inks on these silk screens for doing T-shirts, or it'll wash out. So, you know, this thing, it's a couple $1,000, and you got to, you know, set it up and you put it together, and you got to have the certain amp and the certain plug and the certain electrical and the certain, and it's just one of those big hurdles that for him, it's a half a day work to get everything all set up for our station for all the equipment that we need. But for us, it's like a never thing. So we go, Dennis, boom, he comes in, does it all for one free, get to go to the summit, and his wife paid full boat. And I'm going, see, hooked us up. And this is how, and all these young guys, there are generational spans that are incorporated that include, I'd say, people that knew big names in the 50s associated with the big names of the 2000s. Right now at the summit, that is what it's for. And I'm going to tell you some of the other stories that happened at the summit when we come back, because Jordan Page, the guys that did For Liberty, the movie, they're going to do music videos with Jordan Page. Hook them up. And it's going to be great. I'll tell you where our new ASU program is when we come back. That's going to be fun.